Good afternoon, can you hear me? My name is Tony Chen, and Peter Waxman is my colleague. So today the two of us will introduce the Windows TPM and why is TPM so important to the security of Windows system, and we are going to introduce some new functions using TPM in our Windows lab. You've always heard some news on the internet. There are the servers of different companies have been hacked in, you know, millions of customers' data were stolen. So things like this happen very frequently, and so the security threat also increases. So at Microsoft, we pay lots of attention to system security. We did a lot to improve the security of the system, but we still have a lot that can, we still need to do a lot more. But then we need to think of how to use a SOC, a system on chip, or TPM's hardware. SOC and TPM, we want to utilize the hardware to make the system more safer. So we're going to talk about what is TPM. We're going to introduce how Windows 10 uses TPM. We're also going to introduce if you want to manufacture a Windows 10 device, be it a desktop edition or a mobile edition, what security requirements we need to in order to build a more a safer device. And then we're also going to talk about when you make a secured Windows 10 device, what are the frequently encountered issues. TPM actually stands for Trusted Platform Module. It basically, Microsoft has done the research for years. We have a consortium, Trusted Computing Group Consortium. It's a consortium built by Microsoft and Intel and a number of other companies making standards. So what does TPM do? So actually, I missed a very important thing here. TPM is to store the keys. So all the keys you need in the computing can be all stored in TPM. TPM can ensure that the keys cannot be taken out. You can ask TPM to use the keys to encrypt or disencrypt, but you cannot take the keys out of TPM. So apart from that most important function, TPM also offers other functions. It can measure and record the firmware and software abstract when the system is booting up. So once it's measured, then there's no way to say that, oh, I want to cheat the system, then what? There's no way to do that. So this measurement is very important. We are going to explain why it is so important. And also the keys stored in the TPM. TPM can say only when you start up, only when you use this firmware to start up the system, we will be able to access the keys. If you change a different system, if you're not using this version of firmware, you cannot get the keys. And another very important thing about TPM is that it can prove its credibility to the cloud, ETA certificate. So many TPM's function needs to be connected to the servers on the cloud. You know, the cloud may give you a private key, you need to store that. You ask the cloud, rest assured, I will store the keys here in the TPM. How can the server believe you? How can the server believe you? So you need the EK certificate to prove that. So later we're going to explain that. And then TPM is responsible for protecting the all the above mentioned things. Even the OS is attacked by hackers. There's no way for him to steal the keys or to change the measurement at the startup. So we are going to explain how this is achieved. TPM has two versions. TPM 2.0 is the initial version. Then based on, because of many regions, we changed it to TPM 2.0. TPM 2.0 actually revised a few issues from TPM 1.2. It enhanced the strength of encryption. And then many some governments require that should not they use their own algorithm. So TPM 2.5 also supports that, because there are many things that many people. TPM 2.1 and unify many requirements to for realization and make it easier to implement. TPM has two types. One is discrete TPM. This is actually a separate chip on the board, on the motherboard. So many OEM makes a discrete TPM chip. You can just buy a chip and put it on the board, and then you can integrate it, and then your system has a TPM function. And now more and more common is the firmware TPM. So it actually realized through a firmware on SOC. So usually it's TPM 2.0, because only recently do we have TPM 2.0. So we've already talked to many partners, Qualcomm, Intel, to build the firmware. The reason why we managed to do that is that every system will be able to have a place to do safe computing, like Qualcomm. They have a place to do safe computing, so the firmware TPM is realized in QZ. Intel and AMD also have their security CPU on their chip, in their chip. So their firmware TPM is also inside that. TPM has very high security requirement, so it cannot use the normal wall of the main CPU. Otherwise, if the OS is been compromised by virus, so TPM has to be in the even a lower level. Now let's look at the main functions of that TPM can offer to Windows 10. We call it next generation credentials. Next generation credentials. So it's a FIDO Alliance. It's something that's been done by FIDO Alliance, a new certification approach. Use a public key system to replace a password. And another is the system health certificate. So I'll explain later. So these are the new functions in Windows 10. Windows 7, Windows 8 already have a number of functions that need TPM, like a band locker, like a startup firmware measurement. So the trend is that with every new generation of Windows, we're seeing more reasons to use TPM. So right now, our hardware, if your hardware has the TPM function earlier, so and then you're going to be able to use the new functions in the Windows. Okay. Now let me talk about the next generation credentials first. As I said, many companies servers have been attacked and a lot of information leaked. The biggest problem is that people's passwords have been stolen that way. The problem with passwords is that, you know, when you log on to a website, you need to key in your password first. The password, people don't want to remember very complicated passwords. Usually the passwords tend to be very simple, they're easily cracked. And the second thing is that when I store the passwords, because it's not a public key system, so I need to remember the password. And the server also needs to store my password to verify my password. So the servers have to prove that. And if there are so many passwords, actually all the websites use the same passwords. So if the hacker attacked one server, they got your password, and then the hacker will try the same passwords for other websites because he already knows your password. So I think the problem will be more serious. So we decided to address this issue in Windows 10. The way we address it is that we use a new public key system to replace passwords. So it works like this. All the new Windows 10 device, if you want to use it to verify or authenticate a certain service on the cloud, there will be a private and public key couple will be generated. So the servers will store the public keys and your machine will store the private keys. So once it's built, then you know it can be verified that way. So the public key system's benefits is that on the server, the servers only stores the public keys. So even if the servers were compromised, hackers can only get a bunch of public keys. They cannot use the public keys to fake your identity, to try to log on to other website, because you still have your private keys on your system, on your machine, on your local machine. So this system is already added to Windows 10. Phones, tablets, or desktop PCs can all use this approach for authentication. And we can also allow your phone to store your private keys, and you can use it. And in front of a public PC, you can use the private keys on your phone through Bluetooth. Use that PC to log on to the website. So this function is also usable, very convenient. So it's like that with this machine, you can prove that you are yourself. So what's it to do with TPM? Every machine has its own private key. Right. You log on to the same account, so the server will remember that you have 10 terminals, and then each with his own private key. So this same person can use different machines to log on to the website. Every machine has its own private key and also the corresponding public keys in the server. So this is a standard of the FIDO Alliance. The protocol is already released, published, and you can use that. Of course, if you use our system, it's already been built in, and you don't necessarily have to use our system. The FIDO Alliance, Google is also a member of FIDO Alliance, so Google is also part of it. Now,
what is it to do with TPM? So public key and private keys are stored in TPM because we have to make sure that on this machine, say there is some virus on this machine, your keys will not be stolen to give it to someone else. When TPM is there, it's much more secure because keys will be very difficult to be stolen. So in that physical machine, it has stored all the information that I've used to log in other websites. So as long as this machine is not stolen, your key will be very safe. Well, sometimes machines will be stolen, or could be stolen, I would say. So when you're working on the next generation of credentials, we will add another layer of security or encryption. So apart from the encryption on a machine, another one is also needed. There are two approaches. One is to use PIN as an encryption. It's quite similar to a password, but also different from that, because this password is not stored on servers, but on this client. It's just used to encrypt that private key. So when you key in this PIN, then the private key will be unlocked, and then this private key can be used to TPM. Another approach of encryption is to use biometrics. Yesterday, Terry said that he could log in Windows 10 through facial recognition, so fingerprint and iris recognition has been built in into Windows 10. So private key could also be some biometrics. So when the machine ensures that it is you who is using this machine, then login will move forward. Well, let's move on to the next one. System Health Certificate. Nowadays, more and more systems have been attacked, and even some people actually have no idea that his machine has a lot of virus and continue to use it. So in order to help our users know this information and also help these server companies protect their own materials, let's see how we do it. Assume you're working in a company with a lot of important resources. For example, you've got a SharePoint, email, VPN, to run your machine on your local network. For example, if a client has a laptop and want to log in your network, now the only certificate at present is just type in a password. But you haven't certified whether this machine is healthy. Probably this guy, this person itself, may not have some vicious ideas. But if that machine has some virus, all of the files in this machine will be automatically sent out. So whether this machine is healthy or not is also very important. But nowadays, the approach is like this. The machine get access to these files. We basically check nothing. And we just return the file it requested to this machine. And sometimes we send some requests to the antivirus software on that machine to see whether that machine is healthy. But actually, you could send that request, but you're not very clear whether it works. So sometimes staff can turn off the antivirus software off, right? So we have to try to figure it out, because a lot of virus will be buried very deep. You can even hardly detect them. But TPM can solve this problem. How to do it? TPM can tell the health status of software, hardware, and the firmware. So under this new approach, It's like this. When a machine wants to get access to some files, SharePoint would send some request to ask that machine to prove it is healthy. So how does this machine prove it's healthy? It has to show the measurement data by TPM with signatures. When these information is uploaded to a third-party company that specializes in health status, for example, Windows Intune, or there are also other service providers. And the servers will know a lot of information from those updated information. And it will tell whether this is the updated Windows version, whether there are bugs or something else. They will also know whether your antivirus software is on. So through the uploaded data, the provider will know exactly what it's like. If it is healthy, it will send a certificate saying that this is a healthy system. Then this machine will use this certificate to tell the server and I'm healthy, then the server will send the requested files back to the machine. So this is a second TPM function in Windows 10. With that, I think you all believe that TPM is very, very critical. So next, I want to say a few words about the security requirements on Windows 10. If you want to build a Windows 10 device, there are some requirements you need to meet. Requirements for mobile and desktop is a little bit different, as Windows 10 mobile is a quite new product. The requirements are very strict. And as mobile devices are easily to be lost, so a very high security requirement is needed. And desktop requirement is a little bit relaxed. But no matter for mobile or the desktop version, the UEFI security launch has to be on. UEFI has a configuration, say, that when you're turning your machine on, what kind of files you can use or you can turn on. On the mobile version, you have to have a TPM 2.0. But it seems to be a very strict requirement. But Intel, AMD, Qualcomm, their socks have all included TPM 2.0. It's not very difficult as long as you use their socks or trust zone firmware or security system. They have already laid the groundwork for you. If it is a Windows 10 desktop version, TPM is not 100% required, but when Windows 10 is in the market for 1 year, you have to put TPM into it. Any questions? Well, TPM has this great DPM and the firmware TPM. There are two versions in the socks. So you can use either of them. When Windows 10 is just released, if you want to use the distributed TPM, it could be TPM 1.2 or 2.0, but after 1 year, you have to use the latest one, TPM 2.0. Another requirement is if you happen to use SOC as a desktop OS, if that SOC supports FTPM, then you have to use FTPM, because it's very easy to do. And it cannot just simply turn it off. Peter，现在就是说，现在中国政府能够接受使用这个固件 TPM 吗？So if now FTPM does not meet the Chinese government requirement, but Microsoft will not stop you from using FTPM. But if you use this FTPM, whether the Chinese government wants to purchase your product, that's another thing. If this market means a lot to you, probably you have to, well, figure it out yourself. Well, some words about UEFI security launch and TPM details. Well, UEFI security launch, just as I said, and say there's a function in it saying that the system has to be securely launched, which, or to have a secure boot, or it must have a signed system before it is booted. All Windows 10 machines, before you deliver that to your customers, UEFI security feature has to be on. You can't give your customers a machine without turning on UEFI security feature. And it has to be compatible with UEFI 2.31.
那有没有人可以帮忙？这个要做什么事？开始是里面停电了，是不是？哦，是整个酒店停电了，是。 既然有些时间，有没有什么问题要问？
Any questions?
OK, 好。
To continue, it has to be compatible with UEFI 2.31. For Windows 10 desktop and Windows Mobile, there are some different requirements for UEFI security features. On the desktop version, a lot of users would choose to turn that off. But you have to turn it on when you deliver your product to the customer. But customers can opt off. An OEM would let customer know that they have the right to turn off UEFI security features. But there is no such option for clients to turn off UEFI security features. So there is no way at all for the customer to turn it off on the mobile version. Worry, if you want to use UEFI security features, you have to set a lot of configurations, BKK, DBX. All of these configurations have been set beforehand. And TCG Trusted Computing Group has a standard called PCR7. In this PCR7, it has some standards and requirements, and please follow the instructions of PCR7. If you're using TPM 2.0, there are some new requirements. The most important one is you have a EK certificate. TPM has a function which can prove itself to be a reliable TPM to servers. But the way it proves itself is that during manufacturing process, the manufacturers have to give it a signature certificate, and each TPM will have a EK public key and private key. And in that certificate, the public key needs to be in it, and OEM has to sign for it to make sure that EK certificate is authentic. And then servers will trust that this machine has met the new TPM requirements. If you're using discrete TPM, all the EK certificate have been there. If you're using firmware TPM, some SOC firmware TPM have solved this problem, for example, Intel, AMD, or Qualcomm. So if you're using the SOCs from these companies, you don't have to worry about it.
So in very few cases, you need to pay attention to that. So I just want to mention that you need this EK certificate no matter where it's from. And then we need to use SHA-256 to measure PCR storage value. And also TPM has an instruction called TPM HMMAC. Our next generation actually uses this function, so we require you, if you use TPM 2.0, you need to have this instruction. And here's something else. Hardware security testing interface. This, we define it because according to our experience, many OEMs, manufacturers produce Windows machines. And when they were making it, there are many details. Security boot should be turned on. Minor details, but you know the making the manufacturing process very complicated. You know, if the machine actually skipped this station and then it's been wrapped up and then shipped to the customer, and then at the end of the day, the security system is not turned on. So we add a new testing interface. So basically asks if this machine, all the security devices have been set up well. So before it's been finally packaged, we need to use this interface to test that, to make sure that all the security setup has been done. So in general, the SAC or BIOS vendors are responsible for realizing this testing interface. They know what configurations they need. What OEM needs to do is to set all this up, and then they can use this interface to verify that all are set up. And then Windows 10 itself, it can also will also call this interface. If they discover that this system is not secure, it will inform the user of that. So if it's not set up well, the consumer can also take necessary actions like return the product. Windows certification will. Windows 硬件认证会要求这个吗？
你额外的还要做这个接口，对。好，我们现在在讨论一些制造。
Okay, let's discuss things we need to pay attention to when manufacturing a secure Windows device. Windows 10 Mobile has. I just want to remind you, because I mentioned the UEFI configuration has lots of keys and summaries that you need to do well. You also need to turn off a debug function. All systems will require OEM to, you know, some OTP fuse will store the system's component signature and public keys. So these should be loaded to the OTP fields. So when the system is put up, so they can use this system for to authenticate the signature. Some systems have the OTP fuse to disable JTAG debugging. So once the system becomes a secure boot system, there is no way to debug it. If you turn on the debug, that means you can go in and check and see where the keys are, then you can do strange things. We don't want that happen, because the concern is that if you lost your phone, if the bad guys got your phone, can I keep my secrets? Desktop doesn't have that concern, because desktop system is not that easy to be lost, but a mobile system, mobile device can be easily lost, so we have this special requirement for mobile. So that's and then another thing I want to mention, that there's RPMB flash, replay protected memory block flash. This flash, for this flash, we require to use this flash, because this flash can ensure that they cannot be rolled back. So the flash works like this. In the factory, when you configure it, you will randomly generate a key, and this will be programmed to CPU and to the flash, so they both know each other's keys. So when they read each other's flash, every reading will be signed, and there'll be no way to pretend. If it's not, another CPU cannot write into this flash. If you use a fake flash, and the CPU will not accept the fake flash. So many SOC vendor will provide its program. So when it's first boot, if you have not set up the RPMD, then the keys will be generated, and then when you turn it on again, it's still there. It's very important. I mentioned the UEFI certificates, the keys. All this will be stored in RPMB flash. So RPMB, once it's set up, then these things can be stored. This is something outside TPM. RPMD is a TPM flash standard. This is for Windows Mobile. Yeah, this is a requirement for Windows Mobile, right? So for secure boot, actually all these we need all these links. When the system is boot, is powered on, so every software loaded will determine the next software. They need to make sure that the next software to be loaded is properly signed. So for example, root of trust is usually in the ROM of the CPU. The ROM will look at the bootloader, whether it is signed, and once it enters the bootloader will load the UEFI firmware, and UEFI will boot the boot manager, and the Windows boot manager will load Windows OS, HAL, and the whole system is boot up. So when we enter the Windows shell, we load all the universal app. All these need to be signed by Microsoft. So everywhere needs to be signed. And with these checks, we can be sure that it's a secure device. So I want to say that most signatures are done by Microsoft. Only when there are a few elements that we need OEM to sign. So you need to pay attention to that. OEM signs means that you need to store a key, a private key to sign. So where are you going to store the keys? Who can sign? What you can sign? What you cannot? What you should not sign? You need a system to address that issue. Now the about the flash requirements. So all the things need to be valid to be signed. So we need this before the flash. You need to validate if the image is properly signed. You don't want the system cannot be turned on once after the flash. So you need to validate before the flash, and then. Every time you power on the machine, when you validate the signature, you need to make sure that the validated code is okay, make sure that the public key is correct, and nobody has tampered with it. So we suggest that you need to at least use RSA 2048 or SHA-256. The validation, you know, sounds easy, you know, you just check the signature, but actually there could be lots of potential problems. So when you work on that, you really need to be very careful. At Microsoft, we usually use threat modeling to think, you know, if I'm the bad guy, how am I going to attack the system? So we suggest that you can do the same thing. Put yourself in the boots of the bad guys to see if there is a way to crack the system. If the secure boot is compromised, basically all the rest of the things we did for security is useless, because the virus, once it's in, it can write in its own new firmware, and they can, if they can put in the, and then the system has been compromised by the bad guy. So that's the things that the OEM should pay attention to. If you are a bias vendor, you also need to pay attention to these security issues. We mentioned RSA 2048, SHA-256 standards. If you use a Liberty Code to sign, we require you to use at least the ECC 256. Many of these firmware should be stored in the protected storage area. That means RPM flash. And then we need to provide update method. UEFI, they have a capsule update. So they update UEFI. So if the bootloader before the UEFI need to be upgraded, you do think of a way to upgrade it. You cannot assume that it's once for all, there will be no errors. Our experience is that you need to think of a way that you need to upgrade everything. So even if you are pretty sure that there's no bug, you really need to have an upgrade plan. Otherwise, there will certainly be a problem. And also, you need to see if the JTAG is closed down, if you've configured all the private keys well. And also, you need to do the HSTI interface. All these need to be validated, and then you build the interface so the OEM can easily test all the configurations is done properly. So now you understand the TPM, importance of TPM, you understand why we plan to build TPM into our system. It's not Microsoft wants to make some trouble. We believe it's very important, and our customers really need the security features. So we hope that you understand that in manufacturing, there are many security-related considerations you need to pay attention to. Security work is difficult. If there is just one lapse, then the bad guys will just utilize this small flaw. So actually, your system is just as secure as the weakest link in your system. So if you work in the area of security, you really need to pay attention all the time, everywhere. You need to see all the details. So please remember to give us your feedback and comment. on this presentation, because this is the very last presentation of the day. Don't forget to return the translation headsets. We still have a few minutes for questions. You mean HSTI, how much time does it take? Should be pretty quick, but we don't have the exact number at our hands right now.
PM 1.2. TSS, TPM middleware. Okay. Have you heard of such a thing? TSS? So maybe let's the two of us chat a little bit afterwards. Does anybody else have any questions? Yes. Could you say that again? Sorry. Are you talking about the interface to the TPM in the case of discrete TPM? So you're asking whether TPM supports.
问的是 TPM 是不是支持这个被保护的内存？在这个分离式的 TPM 中，它是一个单独的一个芯片，所以它的其他的内存都在这个 chip 上面，芯片上面。但是这个固件的 TPM 呢，它是在一个 trust zone 或者一个安全的处理器上，对于这个。Charge zone, 我不知道它是用的 DRAM, 内存，还是说自己的 SRAM 内存，我觉得他们应该也有一些，所以就是说它会是 FTVM 放在 SRAM 的内存里头，但是我这个不确定。在 Intel 和 AMD 方面呢，我知道他们有不同的这个 SRAM， 所以 TPM 都会在他们自己的 SRAM 里头，不会放在 DRAM 里头。
Did we ever solve the Windows 7 TPM 2.0 support issue? But not 32-bit. Sorry. Any other questions? 还有问题吗？好，那就谢谢各位了。
Thank you very much.